Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism, your semi-weekly podcast. This is Kirk Smith and my co-host.
Yeah, fortnightly podcast. This is Graham K, the co-host Kirk was just talking about. Thanks for listening, folks. Back another episode. Kirk is in Sweden. He's not on a boat. He's on land, but he's in Sweden. He just showed me with his phone. It's snow outside still. It looks like you got like a foot of snow still on the ground.
2 feet of snow.
Oh, geez. And in Ottawa, where Peter lives and my parents, no snow. Ottawa, the second coldest capital in the world. Ottawa, Ontario, Canada.
Really?
That's right.
Second? So what's first? Reykjavik?
It's probably colder than Reykjavik. Reykjavik has really? Like, yeah, because it has the Gulf Stream. Ottawa ain't got no Gulf Stream, baby.
In Iceland?
Yeah. How do you think England is warmer, but it's more north than Ottawa?
Right. So what are the other ones got to be? They've got to be Stockholm and Moscow or Helsinki, I guess.
I think it's Moscow might be the coldest capital. I believe.
We really got off subject.
But anyway, super cold where I'm from, and there's no snow, and where you are, there's a bunch of snow is the point. And that's where you got to go in this day and age. You got to go to the far reaches of the earth if you want proper care for your son.
Well, they do
prioritize. Or unless you're really rich.
Yeah, I feel like here in Sweden, they prioritize health care. It's a thing. It's important
insane.
To them.
Sounds crazy.
And
yeah.
So he's getting great care. We had a meeting today with his. So he lives in a really great group home.
Yeah, it looks
like
really nice.
Very nice.
I'm looking at the background nice right now. There's a nicer. Picture of JJ on the wall wearing a captain's hat. It's very cute.
A lot of pictures. That was the graduation picture. That's what they do in Sweden. Yeah.
There
a lot of pictures.
Hats?
There's a little kitchen. Yeah, it's like a sailor's hat. There's a kitchen. This is the apartment's about the size of my New York apartment.
Yeah, it looks nice. Looks very Swedish.
Very Swedish. Very, oh, shoot, sorry.
Everything is clean. Efficient.
It's very clean.
I just did a weird Jamaican accent somehow.
He did, Graham is not an accents guy.
No.
Neither of us are, honestly.
No.
We had to take the forks out of his room because much like in a prison, he used them as a tool, and he got a fork in between the drywall and pried off one of the walls with a fork.
Wow.
Which is very ingenious, yes. So we're off the forks. So the forks have to
and
go in just for eating, and then they get taken out with them.
Just to clarify to our new listeners, JJ is not trying to escape. He's not in a minimum security prison or anything.
That's true.
He is just likes the feeling of digging in drywall.
He likes taking things apart and disassembling them. I think he's very curious.
And do you think it's curiosity or is it stimming? It's like a form of stimming.
I don't know. I think when he does it, though, he's like, the way he does it, he's looking. He's not just like.
Right.
Destroying things. He's like trying to get behind it, trying to get underneath the wood, trying to get under. So there's like a seam where the two walls come together, mm-hmm. and then there's like a border that covers it, and he pried that off and then got the fork underneath the drywall. And so now they've got, normally you drywall, I'm calling it drywall, it's something version of that they use over here. It's a little different, but it's like drywall. You screw it in and then you put a little tape over it and then plaster to mm-hmm. cover it up so you can't see the screws, but they've given up on that. Now you can see exposed screws. They've just like put a bunch of extra screws in there. So it's going to be a lot harder to get off. And then that's another thing. No screwdrivers, because he will take a screwdriver and disassemble his laptop. Anything with a screw is going to come apart. So long-time listeners might remember that he got one of those Toshiba Indestructible, or was it Panasonic Tough
Toshiba.
Books, and he proceeded to destroy it. Yeah.
A listener bought him one.
That was very kind.
Yeah.
It was very nice. Yeah. And what else did we have this week? We're fighting back. We're going back. I do feel like a lot of this is like two steps forward, one step back. We had two accidents today where he pooped on the floor right next to the toilet.
Yeah.
And then what we're doing is we make him take care of it. So we put like, we had a paper towel and he's got to pick it up with a paper towel and throw it away. And so we're hoping he figures out eventually, like, yeah, this, we could skip this step if you just straight to the toilet. So I don't know what that's about. That's newish.
Yeah, it seems like he hadn't done that. He hadn't been doing that in years. He was potty trained for like 5 years or so, and then, acting out maybe.
Maybe, I don't know what that one's about. We made popcorn today. He likes doing that. That's one of his favorites. We went for a long drive. We did all his favorites. A little bit of shopping, a little bit of wrestling till I pinched a nerve in my neck. I feel like I'm dying now.
I'm sorry, buddy.
He's a young, getting old.
He's a big, strong young man, and you're an old, feeble man.
Frail.
Gentleman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Daddy taps. Don't hurt me. But no, we had a good wrestling session today. Yeah, it was busy. Busy little morning. Yeah, how about you? What's going on over there?
Peter is still recovering from his fall, where he slipped on ice in November, snapped his ankle, got, 14, 15 screws. You know, I feel like it's been half a year at this point, and He is not recovered yet, and I feel like if he was neurotypical, he would have been recovered by now. But he does things and doesn't know how to monitor things. He does things to aggravate it. A couple weeks ago, He got off the boot three weeks ago, finally got off the boot, was able to walk with a cane. Doctor told him to buy hiking boots, so he bought like the most expensive hiking boots possible. And his like account is drained, so my parents have to put more money in it. He bought like $450 hiking boots.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know that existed.
He doesn't understand money though. And so he's like, they're like, this is the best one. He's like, good.
I like the best. The best is good.
I deserve it. And so he has these pro hiking boots, which is, fine. It's probably going to last him 5-6 years because they're good. Anyway, and he'll need them. It'll make me feel better, him walking in the ice next year. But anyway, he was like, I want to walk. I'm going to walk to the mall. And I know that he always walks to the mall. And I was like, I should have looked it up how far it was. But I kind of was like, okay, cool. And didn't think much about it. I was like thinking it'd be good for him to get moving. It had been a week since he took the boot off already, maybe a week and a half. Anyway, he walks to the mall and back with his cane and he bought a bunch of stuff. It turns out it's like a 45-minute walk each way. And he doesn't feel pain like you and I, so he can't really monitor that. He can't stop and get in an Uber because he doesn't understand how to do that. If he's off the bus line because he's on the walking area, he doesn't know how to divert back to the bus stop and do that.
He's pot committed. He's in
pot committed.
The whole thing, yeah.
And so since that walk, he's been limping again. And he was our aunt says that he was not limping before. My parents were in South Carolina at the time. I live in New York, so there was no boots on the ground monitoring him except for our periodic check-ins from family members. And one of our family members said that he was not limping before, and now he's limping after. So I feel guilty he's limping. I should have been paying closer attention. And now I'm worried that he's going to have, there's like this one screw that the doctor said might have to be removed. So that'll be an additional surgery. And I'm worried that I have loosened the screw in Peter's ankle by not paying close enough attention. He says he's not in any pain, but sometimes he says a teensy bit, because he knows that if he says no pain, that he won't have to go back to surgery. And he wants to get back to work. He started work again for the first time in almost 6 months. And it's very important for him to get back to work. So he doesn't want to lose that. So he's lying, I believe, of how much pain he is in. And there's no way to tell. Like, I know that JJ, there's no way to tell if he's in pain. You always wonder. And Peter obviously is way more communicative, but it's still hard to know if he's in pain. It's hard to know if he knows what pain is. It's hard to know what level. Like, I know he knows what pain is, but what is an acceptable level of pain? Like, he doesn't understand the pitfalls of it, and it's very hard to communicate that to him. You know, 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10, 5 out of 10 level of pain. He doesn't understand numbers. You can't do that. So it's like, you know, his leg could fall off if this isn't, like, honestly, if it's not monitored properly. So it's very scary. Like, if his body rejects one of the screws, and is he just muscling through it? I don't know. So we're kind of worried about it. He doesn't want to not work. Another thing is that he went back to work, and he used to work 3 days a week, and now they're only letting him work 2 days a week. And I don't know. And it's like, is that because of the injury? No one can say. Peter can't say. He's the only person communicating with his boss. And I want him to be doing 3 days a week. So I told him, okay, well, I think it might be good that you're only doing 2 days a week, because you're still recovering and your job is to move around furniture, basically. And you have a cane. Wipe down tables and stuff, but like, maybe ask him.
I'm watching the video of you. I can see a cane in the background. You guys are the Cane brothers, but continue.
We got a lot of canes going on. It's been a rough winter, for the K boys, for sure. My mother never asked me about it, only asked about Peter. That's fine. You know, that's what happens when you're a sibling. You don't get to have problems. But anyway, so I'm like trying to get him to, like, okay, in June when you're better, make sure you ask your boss if you can go back to 3 days. And he's like, maybe I should ask in 2025. I'm like, that's a long way away. That's more, if you aren't working 3 days a week, that means you call me 5 times a week. So I need you to, or like 5 times a day, rather. I would love 5 times a week. But we've already talked twice today. I need him to work more. He needs to work more so he's not lonely. And so I'm just trying to, like, get him to advocate for himself. Anyway. All that's going on. Everything will be fine. We just got to monitor it. And
JJ's little job is, you did air quotes for a podcast. For some reason, I just did that. But it's good. It's kind of like busy work, though. It's not. Yeah. And so he's doing 3 days, but it's only a couple. Let me think. 8:30, 9:30, 10:30. 11:30. So it's 3 hours, including the travel time. So it's like 3 hours. Yeah, 2.5 hours. So, yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's. I'm starting to wonder if it's not in the cards for him. You know, because now he's 25. So, yeah, and he's much more disabled than Peter. And it kind of brings us into our in the news. Which sparked a conversation we had off air.
Yeah.
Do you want to read the In the News, Grandma?
Yeah, let's do it. This is from The Guardian, who sometimes, for whatever reason, most of the journalism has to do with autism somehow. just joking that we get a lot of articles from The Guardian. This article is titled, A New Understanding How Research into Autism is Evolving, by Amelia Hill. Kirsty Orton didn't mind whether her baby was autistic or not. She just wanted her 12-month-old to enjoy being with his mummy. to notice her when she came into the room, to meet her eye when she talked to him, and to be able to communicate. All I wanted to do was be able to connect and bond with Finn, she said. But when your baby looks everywhere else in the room except at you and stays in their own zone, like you're completely unimportant to them, it's upsetting in a way that I struggle to put into words. Orton reiterates that it wasn't about not accepting the autism that runs in her family. I was fine with that, she said. But Finn's lack of communication wasn't safe for a child and would be even less safe as he grew up. You need to be able to communicate if there's something you don't like. Orton, who lives in Kent, turned to the internet and discovered the first experimental trial of targeted social communication therapy program for babies as young as 10 months old with an increased chance of developing autism. The pilot therapy, still in its infancy, aims to support and maximize the baby's communication and brain function by focusing on one-to-one facial interaction they receive in their first year with parents or and carers. It hopes to change later behavior too as the child ages. Led by Professor Jonathan Green and his colleagues, and based on work funded by the Medical Research Council, the charity Autistica, never heard of that, and the National Autism Team at NHS England, the project claims to improve the developmental trajectory of babies. Autistic children will still have developmental differences, but will be more easily social and able to engage. This is going to change our concept of what autism is, said Green, a professor of child and adolescent psychiatry at the University of Manchester. It will redirect our attention away from the idea of intrinsic social impairments and get us into a deeper level of what autism is really about. Autism research has transformed in the last 2 to 3 decades. Gone are the offensive and misguided attempts to cure the condition and depersonalized medical approaches that treated autistic people as objects in need of treatment. We'll put a pin in that and go back to that. Gone, too, is the discredited and controversial approach of teaching autistic children to hide their autistic identities using behavioral techniques. Green said treatment, as it was traditionally given, focused on removing autistic behavior and came to be felt by many autistic people to be an assault on their identity. A focus on genetic cures led to concerns that the aim was to remove autism from the world. But despite the evolution of research into autism, there is still so much we don't understand about the condition that conditioning work is crucial. We don't understand, for example, how its many genetic environmental influences give us rise to so many different presentations. And importantly, despite the condition's impact and prevalence, the fact autistic people do not always respond to conventional treatments for mental health difficulties or may experience unacceptable side effects, there are still no specifically tailored medications. I'm just scrolling down here. Dr. Grian McGowan, a clinical professor at Translational Neuroscience at the Department of Forensic and Neurodevelopmental Sciences of Institute of Psychiatry, Psychology, and Neuroscience at King's College, that's quite a title, Kirk, has just started investigating a psychedelic compound, psilocybin, found in magic mushrooms. That's helped me make decisions. She is looking at the serotonin pathway, which plays a key role in a range of essential functions such as sensory processing, cognition, mood, and sleep. One of the most consistent findings of autism research are differences in the serotonin pathway. More than 25% of autistic people have high blood serotonin levels. If McCallan identifies individual differences in the brain serotonin system targeted by psilocybin, the next step will be to ask whether they can establish there is a biological response to the drug that might be clinically useful. Ultimately, the research may allow us to provide more personalized choices for those autistic people who want the option of a medication of their difficulties. She said, This was an exciting time for autism research, said Matthew Swindle, in Evidence Research and Evaluation Management of National Autistic Society. There's JJ in the background.
It's him doing a little dance here in the background. Sorry.
No, that's cool.
He's a little color commentary for the podcast. Thank you, buddy.
He agrees. The points to other research that addresses real-life issues, including the Bridging Project led by the University of Plymouth, which uses virtual reality to reduce the autism employment gap. Autism is in Affinity Spaces, led by Queen Mary University of London, which explores how young autistic people use social media platforms to engage their interest. An Adult 50, led by University College London, which focuses on experiences of older autistic people, an often overlooked population. Swindland says, perhaps most importantly, researchers have moved away from stigmatizing deficit-based language and approaches. Instead, it has started to focus on the topics that really matter to autistic people. This can be seen in the emergence of more autistic lead researches, as well as some brilliant examples of participatory approaches with research practices. Well, Kirk, it's always good to have new research. I think we both agree on that.
It's good to have new research. It does concern me that when it talks about there's no need to have a cure, it implies that there's no reason to look for improvement or problem issues. And the fact that I cleaned up two giant turds today on
human
the floor.
Poop. Yeah.
Human poops with JJ's help, but they were his, so yeah, he should be helping.
So we'll go back to this paragraph. Autism research has transformed in the last 2 to 3 decades. Gone are the offensive and misguided attempts to cure the condition.
Well, I don't know about curing the condition, but if we're looking for a quote unquote cure to him not pooping on the floor, I'm down. So If you say, oh, that's not a cure. Well, if one of his conditions is not going to the bathroom in the toilet, it's a condition that needs to be addressed because it's problematic.
This is my issue.
I feel like they corner the market on autism conversations. All right, go ahead. Sorry, I kind of cut
totally.
You off.
Totally. No. This is that specific language I find offensive. There is a large group of people with autism, which are neurodivergent, and you know, and when everything is boiled down, you could probably say that they don't have a disability. They think differently, and those people don't want to be cured, and they like who they are, and I understand that, and that's wonderful, and I agree. They do not have the same disability. It's just by name only, and it's ridiculous it has the same name. It used to have a different name, but they found out that Dr. Asperger was a Nazi, so now we have to deal with this.
Yeah.
You know, Hitler is still affecting our lives.
100 years later. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, not 100, but
80.
You know, it's completely ridiculous that those people who are neurodivergent can't see the difference of cleaning up poop. And like, they're affecting not only the language and articles written about it, but ultimately this affects the research that goes into it. You know, it's like JJ, you would love JJ to say, I love you, and not and poop in the toilet. Whatever
and
you want
to try to explain to them that you don't have to tear down the walls, and you don't have to, yeah, any number of things. You don't have to, you know, try to have a conversation with them that we've had 6 meals today. You're full. You don't need to keep eating. You know, everything's driven by food. So we've, you know, I have to time it because if I serve his food and then immediately start eating mine, he'll eat, well, it doesn't matter the amount, the whole plate of food that I give him, and then he'll want my food. It's like, you literally just ate. And so he can't see that, you know, dad gets to eat too. And so things like that, that are like, there doesn't need to be a cure. Well, it needs to be some sort of cure, or where he needs to learn empathy and understanding that, yeah, it's not all about him. So
yeah.
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 If I sound tired, I'm tired. I had a rough couple nights. Sorry.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going through it, buddy.
I sleep in his, I stay with him, which is, allows me to extend the time I stay with him. But then, you know, for example, like today he got up at 5. So if he's up, then we're all up. And yeah, so yeah.
And then you're like 7 hours forward from New York.
Yeah.
Or 6 hours.
And the
hours.
Jet lag and everything else.
Jet lag and so. Cleaning up poop and driving around to look at waterfalls and eat IKEA.
And not being able to eat because he wants to eat my food and his food. But it's good.
You're a good dad. You're a good man. Yeah, you're a good dad.
Do my best.
You are,
but,
buddy.
Yeah, I don't appreciate it when somebody who has the ability to even write these articles pretends to speak for other people who are...
Well, this person who wrote the article does not claim to be autistic.
Right, but some of these people can write their own articles and they can speak for themselves. And so Yeah. Which is kind of a self-selecting thing. If you're able to do that, you're not the same thing as what my son is. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Well, do we do it, buddy?
Yeah. Quickly, why did you extend your stay in Sweden?
Because I screwed up. Because I was going to come on Monday to Friday, but the problem was... Monday, I left at night, so I didn't get here till Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. Then it's a 4-hour train ride. Sweden is the size of California, and there's not as many, you know, they have population of New York City, so there's not as many big airports. So there were no flights from Stockholm to Sundsvall that day. It's not a daily flight. And even when it is, there's like one a day kind of thing. So I had to take a train. So then, you know, you get at 7, I get the train, so I'm here at noon. So then I'm here at noon on Tuesday, and then I had to leave Friday, so then the same thing to get back. So if I have to be there at 9 a.m. Friday, I've got to leave Sundsvall at Saturday night, so then I'm really only there Wednesday and Thursday. No, I have to leave there Thursday night to get there Friday. Sorry, I'm very tired. So that's really only 2.5 days. So like when I looked at it, I'm like, oh, I'm here 5 days, but when it actually came down, it was like 2.5.
Oh, I didn't expect such a boring answer. I'm sorry. I thought, because off air you were saying that you stayed because you just turned 50, and that's why you stayed, because you were like, I have less time on this earth, so I want to see my son. I thought it was going to be a much more profound answer.
And so then I'm like, I'm flying all the way out here for two days to see him, to hurry back to go to some shows in the city, which is fine, which is great, but it's like...
No. Yeah,
the shows are the shows. They'll always be there. Yeah. But I wanted to. It wasn't enough time.
Yeah, say that next time. Stop giving everyone your itinerary.
I'm not very eloquent today. I'm exhausted.
I'm just teasing you, buddy. You're a good dad.
But you're not
wrong. I'm glad you're staying. I'm glad you're staying longer.
And so I'm staying a week. So which ends up being 5 days when you figure out the travel.
Sure.
So, that's him screaming. He's doing a little song and dance routine.
Sounds like he wants to hang out with his dad. I think we did it, buddy.
We did it. Guys, as always, it'd be a big favor to me if you would add me on my Facebook fan page or YouTube. Go ahead, Grandma. Kirksmith Comedy is my thing.
Mr. Graham K on Instagram if you don't already follow. And follow me on YouTube at Graham K Comedy. The old YouTube, I'm going to be in Texas, Austin, Texas. Come to my show if you live in the Texas area. I'm going to be headlining The Creek in the Cave, April 25th. Ooh. I'm going to be at Stir Crazy, Arizona, first weekend of May. So come to that. And that's in... it's in the Phoenix area where the football stadium is. I forget what that's called.
It's like Chandler or something, isn't it? Yeah.
No, it's something else. But anyway, by the football stadium in Phoenix where the Cardinals play. So anyway, come to those two shows. Bye-bye.
Have a great week, guys. You can do it.